Now, when you come to a place like that, you got to compose your mind to let go of all your worries. Put it behind. And you must feel relaxed, both bodily and mentally. So get yourself focused onto your breath. Be aware of your breath. When your breath goes in, you also know. When the breath goes out, you also know. Now this is very important. Now the Buddha was born in the forest. And he gained enlightenment in the forest. He preached in the forest and he parinibbana in the forest. So you can see the power of the forest, the nature that can give each an individual mind, a person, to become. When you come to a place like that, because of the atmosphere, because of the so-called the energy of the forest, of the trees, of the green, it cools now your heart, this troubling mind. You got a breathing space within yourself. When your mind is calm, with no worries to come and disturb you mentally, then this is what we call you have a peace of mind. And because through developing mindfulness of breathing, and the restraint of your senses, then you can really look within yourself. What's wrong with you? What are the real problems within you? Why are we so attached? Why we have so much ill thoughts? Why we are full of jealousy? Why we are so greedy? Why? And most of the time, you find that we try to solve problems outside of us. Most of the time, we will point our fingers external of us to put the blame on someone that caused you this pain, this suffering within yourself. But that is not the case. The Buddha taught us to look within, to look within ourselves. Take for example, fear. Fear. Troubled mind. The fear that arises because of our not knowing the true cause of nature. We are scared of darkness. We are very unclear about ourselves. That's why we are full of doubts, full of uncertainty within ourselves. And this is the cause of our human suffering. That's why we sit and meditate. That's why we have a place like that to enable each and individual's so-called yogi, bhikkhus, samanera, mechi, or bhikkhunis to cultivate themselves. To cultivate themselves so that your mind can calm down. Calm down the fever of uncertainty. Because this uncertainty has caused a lot of unnecessary trouble for ourselves. Like what we stated just now, fear. Fear of what? Fear of things that we heard. True or not true, who knows? Fear of voices, fear of images, fear of lots of things. Why? Because we hear say we are uncertain. We don't have the so-called samadhi, a mind that is concentrated, a mind that is full of energy. You know, the power within yourself. Because when a person is full of uncertainty, then you are not centered anymore. You can't focus on your present. Your mind will grow wild. Your awareness will become scattered. Scattered to where? Scattered to your mental formations. Scattered into the story, the contents of your mental formation. And this is why we suffered. This is why we have all this trouble. And the mind keep multiplying. Plus the support of greed, plus the support of hatred, plus the support of delusion. So this whole mind is flooded with all these unwholesome energy, unwholesome frequency within us. That's why we get ourselves so screwed up with our life. That's why we do a lot of stupid mistakes to ourselves and to other people. Not only this fever burn us, get us crispy burned, because our mind is not composed, not controlled, not trained. We let this fire burn externally. We react on these unskillful thoughts, on these very repulsive thoughts, on anger, hatred, jealousy, sabotaging, backbiting, hoping to create disharmony. So all these are unnecessary so-called karma or actions that one person creates for oneself. And when the repercussion comes back to us, we start to grumble, we start to yell for help. Why these people are like that to me, why that person is treated me this way, blah blah blah, all this one. Complaining and complaining and complaining. You see? Why we are so kind to people and people are so kind to us, so unkind to us. Why? What to do? These are human defilements. When you know that these people is unkind to you, very ingratitude to us, then we must be very, very, has a sense of compassionate heart to ourselves and feel sorry for the opposite party, that why they behave this way. Because these people are untrained, because these beings Never hear say, never associate with the wise. This is the problem. So when we encounter this kind of problem, we quickly do self-reflections. Bring this mind inward toward us, within ourselves, and remind ourselves. See? You see? This is what happened. So what to do? Let go. Let go. We don't practice to attach. If you attach again, you get burned. And sometimes you can burn for years, for years, for years, for months, for days, for months, for years. A sight of the person, a sound of the person, straight away, these old data of hatred flares up within our mind. See? And we get burned. And the other party doesn't know anything at all. What that person say, or he or she say, already forgotten. But we, because of attachment, because he sarcastically say this to me, this attachment to me, and we grab hold of this me, this I, that's why we suffer. So as we meditate, we look at the breath, and when the mind calms down, then we see the suffering that arises within this body, even while you're sitting now. When the hours goes by, you feel aches, you feel twinging sensation, you feel numbness, you feel pain, you feel burning sensation, you feel all kinds of uncomfort that will arise. And this is what we call the suffering of the body. You see? But this thing will go away when we change posture. But when we sit, we'll say, don't change. Go through the process. Why? So as to let the individual to experience. Well, we are always talking about impermanent. We are talking about dukkha, suffering. We are always talking about anatta, no self. So who is that fellow who want to move? You want to see anatta, you want to see anicca, tukkhang anatta. Say it. Then you will realize the pain can't stay long. It comes and it goes. But the duration of the sensation got to, that is going to stay on. It depends on individuals. Now when you come to this mental state, there's always this energy behind. You're aware of this pain, and there's one energy behind that keeping wanted to run away. At first, when your mindfulness is fast enough, then you're able to contain it. But once your mindfulness is lax, getting weaker and weaker, then when the awareness get weaker and weaker, what will take over? What will take over? This coward mind, this coward mental state will arise. Enough lah, change leg lah, don't torture yourself lah. Enough lah, so painful, you know. Enough lah, this, enough that, you know. A lot of story. When this coward mental state arises, you see. But when you sit and watch your TV program, and you sit and play mahjong, you can sit for days. The program of the TV program is so interesting, especially when the football game, the what they call World Cup, people can sit there for days, staring at the television set for days. So from this point of view, you can see the mind is very rebellious. When you like something, it can endure. When the real things, it doesn't want to endure. For example, you sit and meditate, it doesn't want to endure. You want to push it away. It keeps changing. You see? You don't have to believe what the speaker say. You got to do it for yourself and experience for yourself and see for yourself. Why? So it is very important when we're doing meditation to create a good mental state so that you can latch on. You're aware. So can the mind. Be very happy with this mental state. It is only through cultivation of meditation will you attain this kind of mental state. Because external thing, we can have big houses, big cars, very good family, very healthy body, all kinds of goodies we have in life. But that's not going to help us. It can give you an immediate comfort for this body that's on. But to a person whose mind is untrained, you'll give them, or if they misuse their wealth, that's going to hurt them. See? Because this wealth, this kind of comfort, external comfort, it cannot help us when we are sick, when we are facing life and death. It can't help us. Because none of these things external of us we can bring along. At the end of our life, we've got to leave everything behind. Not even a single hair can you bring along. Not to talk about this big body. Not even a single hair. See? And see how we human beings are so ignorant, so complacent about our life, that we keep going against the teaching of the Buddha. We call ourselves Buddhists. We never put ourselves 100% trust in the Buddha's teaching. You must have 100% trust. Trust the Buddha's teaching that this teaching is the highest teaching and it will enable me the highest happiness. Then your practice can be very fruitful. Then you will have a lot of faith in the practice, in your practice, he or she. See? You must have the faith in the Buddhas first, in the Triple Gem. Then you put in your effort. You really put in your effort in the sitting, and you really walking, the standing and lying posture. And of course, never neglect loving kindness. The spreading of the thoughts of loving kindness to yourself and to all beings is very, very important, because it creates a very good mental state. A very cool and soft mental state, so that you yourself can accept it. And by extending this good mental state, loving kindness mental state, to all beings around you, then you really create a very good atmosphere to live in. Forgiving people who have done wrong to us, forgive them. From this heart, we forgive them. We don't hold on to these grudges, because it is not going to do anything good to our own mind. Our mind will be full of garbage if we hold on to this type of thoughts. So never let this kind of thing harbor in us. Just let go and quit radiating this kind of good mental state, very skillful mental state, so our practice can go happily and smoothly. So anyone that we met, we come in contact, we feel happy, we welcome them, we feel happy about their coming, we let people come. See? So this is very, very important to harbor this kind of kind thoughts. So a lot of people, when they meditate, they try to force things to happen overnight. They go for a short courses, and as though they're aiming for a graduation, for a certificate, that within this certain time I must attain concentration, attain wisdom. Oh, a lot of expectation, and this is why we suffered. We train with a wanting mind, wanting this and wanting that, so we suffered. But on the other hand, if we just say, we just bear in mind, okay, I'm going to put in my causes. I just meditate. I'm just going to be aware of what is going to happen. I'm going to focus on this breath, or putto, the name of the Buddha, the one who knows, the enlightened one, the awakening one. So remember, you got to put in your course as a practitioner. Just lay down your foundation, put in your course, put in your effort in the practice, and as you move along the way, all these are accumulated experience. You are sure to experience the so-called different stages of concentration, and that depends on how much effort and how intended you are into your practice, and how observant you are also. You can't be too tense, you can't be too lax, You've got to have just nice and know how to focus at the right kind of attitude. Then you can meditate peacefully, happily. A lot of people, they meditate, they suffer a lot. They get all tense up. They get headache. And it's normal to have backache and leg ache here and ache there. It's normal. But this headache, especially for people who practice breath meditation, because of your power of focus, you focus too hard. You see? You focus too hard onto the breath. You be aware of your breath. You let the breath breathe in and goes out by itself. You don't try to instrument the breath. You're going to get screws up in your physical organ. You're going to screw up because of the forcing of your breath. You will get headache. You breathe with a natural breath. This body, even without you aware the breath or watching the breath, this body has already breathing by itself. Because if the breath don't come in or goes out, you die. We will die. So why we say aware of the breath? So that the mind got an object to play with, just like a small kid. He got an object of toys to hold on to, a bottle of milk beside him or her. So when he's hungry, go to the nozzle and suck it up. So the mother can be free. The same thing with our meditations. If you're aware of the breath, then this thought of past and future cannot empower you. When we say you, that means this awareness won't stream out to these streaming thoughts of past and future. As such, when the breath gets more and more refined, then you discover that these troubling thoughts can't influence you anymore. It got no power. It can't disturb you anymore. But there's still occasionally the thought. But this thought can't trouble you like before anymore. You know there's thought, but this thought got no power anymore. Can't influence us anymore. And we just continue. Continue to develop this awareness of the present. Until as such, this breath sensation on the nostril stop. You don't experience this rough breathing. Now the body has enter into a stage of calmness. The mind has gained a stage of calmness. And the mind is concentrated. And you find that the breath will appear every 8 to 10 seconds. So let your mind stay put with this kind of calmness. And let your awareness be broad and be mindful, all rounded. The agent of knowing, of awaring, must be around. You must know what is happening. Where there's no breath, you also know. And it's very fragile, no? This kind of awareness. When there's very loud noise, you can get jerked up. But if you're fully aware and really immersed into this kind of concentration, then even if someone shouted at you beside you, or a loud voice, because the mind is so absorbed, you can't be disturbed, you can't move, you will not be moved or frightened or shocked by this contact of the noises. But all these take practice, eh? Take practice, take effort. So bear in mind.